There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back to round two of our nightly get-together here on Air America Radio. I'm Nicole Sandler.
On the phone with us is Russ Baker. He's an award-winning investigative reporter who's written for The New Yorker, Vanity Fair, The Nation, New York Times, Washington Post, The Village Voice, Esquire, the list goes on and on. His book, Family of Secrets, The Bush Dynasty, The Powerful Forces That Put It in the White House, and What Their Influence Means for America, was released right around the time George W. Bush left office, right?
That's correct.
I guess, a celebration of sorts?
Hardly.
I guess after 8 years of what that man did to this country, it's difficult to celebrate. What made you decide to do an extensive piece like this on the Bush family?
Well, you know, Nicole, I want to first of all stress that this is not a polemic. It's not an extended essay. It is a work of investigative reporting. And I began back in 2004. It took me about 5 years of research to complete the book, simply asking the question, how did such an improbable figure as George W. Bush manage to become President of the United States, the most powerful person in the world, and the person who then effected all of these dramatic and controversial acts that have so transformed the world?
Pretty good questions there.
That's how I began, and I really didn't have any particular theories or answers in mind, which I think is probably the best way to go about doing investigative reporting. But I began traveling around the country, interviewing people, looking at documents. All told, for Family of Secrets, I interviewed more than about 500 people. I assembled a library of about 500 new, when I say new, mostly old, obscure books, and thousands of documents. And from these emerged gradually, and really not a lot in the first couple of years, but came a whole new understanding of what had happened, something that really stunned me, and I know has stunned critics and others who've read the book, a whole new understanding of George W. Bush, of his father, of the family, and really of 50 years of American history.
Well, even more than that, I would guess, because I know you delve deeply into both George W. and George H.W. Bush. Do you go back even further? Do you go back to the Prescott Bush days?
I do. I mean, I go back even further than that. One of the things I tried to do with Family of Secrets, because there are, of course, so many books out on the Bushes, and many of your listeners already probably have them in their library, I wanted to write a book that was unfamiliar. And so I skipped a lot of the things you will find elsewhere. What that means is that it's basically a revelation, a page in Family of Secrets. So where I have things about Prescott, they're mostly the things that people don't know, haven't read before. If they're things about Prescott's father or his father-in-law, they're fascinating things that I had never seen before and that I dug up in the course of the Family of Secrets research.
So you don't go into his involvement with the Nazi Party?
I go into that just a little bit. I try to be very, very careful in my work, and I have to say that my assessment of that is a little bit different than some of the things floating around on the internet. I had the opportunity to review quite a few files of their investment banking firm, Brown Brothers Harriman, and was struck by what is missed there, and that is that it's not clear that Prescott Bush was himself any kind of a Nazi sympathizer or a fan of Hitler. It was that these banking interests are so amoral that they don't seem to respond with any kind of appropriate humanity when a very dangerous situation is developing. They were doing business with major industrialists in Germany who themselves ended up financing Hitler's rise for practical reasons. And then Prescott and his partners essentially ended up covering for these bankers and protecting their financial interests in the United States.
I see. Okay. Well, so tell us, I have not had a chance to read the book. I know it's a big one. It's closing in on about 600 pages. So obviously there's a lot of stuff here. There's a lot to know about this family. Although some of us would prefer, you know, they'd just go away. I think it is important that we do know what they were up to, what you know, the far reaches of the Bush tentacles, I guess. So where do we start?
Well, I mean, I think we start with exactly the question you just raised. Why should we care about the Bushes? Family of Secrets came out, as you point out, just as he was leaving office, George W. Bush. And, of course, the people were justifiably fed up. They didn't want to hear another word about him or his family. Many people were excited by Obama's election, and they wanted to move on into a more hopeful future. The problem comes when you delve into Family of Secrets and you discover that what actually was going on, and I hope we have some time to get into that, of course, but,
yep.
But what was going on is not just something that was happening under the Bushes. They are part of a more complex and buried history that dates way back, dates to other presidential administrations, and the issues that they actually represent and the people who back them, and often in covert ways, are interests that are very much on the scene today. They're shaping a policy right now in ways that we do not see. And so ultimately, Family of Secrets is not a read just about what you didn't know about the Bushes. It's what you didn't know and you don't know about our country and about our world.
Right. Okay. Well, I got you there. So now we most of us, when we think of George H.W. Bush, we know about his involvement with the CIA and then, before he became vice president under Ronald Reagan. But you're saying that he was involved somehow in Watergate.
Well, what I discovered, basically, I started by focusing on George W. Bush. And one of the things, one of the themes that kept coming back was this story that he and his father were estranged. I think you're familiar with that. They always the discussion is, you know, the father supposedly opposed the invasion of Iraq. The father and the son had very different styles. There were periods where they weren't speaking. My research suggested that that wasn't really the case, that, in fact, the father and the son were always extremely close. The son, although he's portrayed as just having been this sort of reckless young man, was always very, very political, and he was a key advisor to his father and an intimate of him in many of these secret things that the father was involved with. So that was the first thing that I thought was significant. And, of course, as I looked at George W. Bush and his paltry list of credentials for the presidency, it became very clear to me that the son would never have been president if his father had not been president. So that began me on a course of examining the father more carefully. And what I did was I went back and looked at his entire life, and I looked at a few key issues. One of them that struck me as very, very interesting was that, as you pointed out, he had been CIA director appointed by Gerald Ford in 1976. He served for a year until Jimmy Carter came in and replaced him. One of the interesting things was, why was George H.W. Bush made CIA director? And if you go back and you look at the clippings, the reporters are sort of scratching their heads saying, huh, this is an odd choice. This fellow has very little experience. He has no intelligence background, doesn't seem to have any qualifications for this job. So they were a little bit perplexed why he was put in there. Well, the answer I discovered over the course of my Family of Secrets research is that George H.W. Bush actually did have qualifications, and he did have a background. He just couldn't talk about it. He appears to have been involved with the Central Intelligence Agency and with intelligence work of a particularly dangerous and covert type, primarily on a domestic level, going back more than two decades before he was CIA director. And in Family of Secrets, I actually provide the documents. In fact, we see that all the way back in 1953, when he was starting up Zapata Offshore, his offshore drilling company, his partner in that venture was a man, Thomas Devine, who was a CIA officer who purportedly resigned from the agency to start this oil company. But Mr. Devine, like Mr. Bush, was in his late 20s. The government had just spent millions of dollars training him, and they would have been unlikely to simply let him go. We see many examples of people, including E. Howard Hunt and other figures, who purportedly resigned from the agency when, in fact, they were just going undercover. And so the evidence suggests that Zapata Offshore itself was a cover for unauthorized intelligence activities, and this included, for example, they had very few rigs. They were a pretty small company, but you see George H.W. Bush traveling all over the world to hot spots, many of them where there were no drilling opportunities, and you also see him putting his rigs in sensitive spots, like right off Cuba prior to the Bay of Pigs invasion.
Okay, so that's interesting stuff.
Well, that's important, you know, because we like to think that we know who we put in the White House and we know where they've been and what
right.
they stand for. But in fact, if in fact a president of the United States had lived a secret life and was other than we understood and was part of for his entire life an intelligence agency that's extremely controversial, many of whose activities have been illegal and unsanctioned, what we're really talking about is an American version, basically, of Vladimir Putin. And that, I think, is a major revelation in and of itself. But even more interesting are some of the particulars. For example, in some interviews he has conducted, George H.W. Bush has been asked innocuously, do you remember where you were on historic occasions, like, say, the November 22, 1963, the day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated? And very peculiarly, he had claimed he couldn't remember where he was that day. Now, of
that
course,
is an odd thing, because that's one of those moments in time that everybody remembers. I mean, I was 3 years old, so I don't really remember. But most people who were adults at that time remember exactly where they were.
Well, that's right. And in fact, I have yet to meet anyone since the book came out who cannot remember where they were if they were, say, over the age of 05 or so. And so that struck me as very, very strange. And I remembered how he had also claimed that he was out of the loop on Iran-Contra, and even though it was all over the White House and he had already been CIA director and he was then vice president, didn't know anything about it. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a reason he's making this claim. And I knew that he had actually been – he was a Texan at the time. He was middle-aged, and he was in politics. And so
right.
I thought, well, that's just too strange. And that took me, I must say, down a kind of a rabbit's hole. And about a year and a half of my research was spent partially examining or re-examining the assassination of John F. Kennedy, simply to answer this question about this other former president. I hadn't intended to do it. I hadn't particularly wanted to do it. I'd never really paid a lot of attention to the assassination and sort of took at face value the official claims that it was Lee Harvey Oswald and Oswald alone. But the more I looked at this, the more I discovered this sort of staggering backstory related to Mr. Bush and to his friends. And as I kept digging, and I've got four chapters of all new material related to the John F. Kennedy assassination in Family of Secrets, I've got more than 1,000 footnotes. What I discovered was that he knew exactly where he was, that in fact he was in Dallas that day. This has never been reported before. That he was closely associated with a circle of people connected to Lee Harvey Oswald, the owner of the Texas School Book Depository, the people who forced their way into the lead car of the motorcade, and much, much more. There are also two declassified FBI documents that I cite in Family of Secrets, one of which has him being briefed by the FBI the day after the assassination. He's identified in there as George Bush of the CIA, and the briefings relate to Cuban exiles and their activities related to the assassination. So, of course, that's deeply intriguing, especially for a man who claims he can't remember where he was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second document, Nicole, which is even more interesting, and this is from the FBI's Dallas office, and it basically says that at 1:45 p.m. on November 22, George H.W. Bush of Houston, an oil man, has called the office. He knows that Kennedy has been shot, and he would like to be helpful. And he says, I may have a tip on who shot President Kennedy. Now, again, keep in mind, this is the same man who
doesn't remember where he was.
Memo,
right.
He's an oil man, and in his own recollections, is nobody and is nowhere.
Right. Right.
So here he's saying to the FBI, I've got a tip on a possible assassin. And the story of his tip, which I relate in a discrete chapter of Family of Secrets, is in itself astonishing, but because you can see that the call was not helpful. The call doesn't even appear to have been intended to be helpful, but to sort of lead these people on a bit of a wild goose chase, and most importantly, to establish that he was trying to be helpful, and that when he was making the call, which was, as I say, 1:45 p.m., he was making it from somewhere other than Dallas, although, as I point out in the chapter, he was about 40 miles away, and he'd gotten there on a private plane of a friend of his. So that chapter, I think, is very, very interesting. And then we go forward to Watergate, as you pointed out.
Yeah. Okay. So you get there, Russ Baker with us, author of Family of Secrets, about the Bush family. And why have we not heard this stuff before?
You know, I ask myself that about all kinds of things. And in the two decades that I've done investigative journalism, whenever I find things, I say, my gosh, why is this not out? That would require us to get into a long critique of the deficiencies of journalism in this country, which I'm happy to talk about. In fact, I've started toward the end of the interview we can talk about this. I've started a nonprofit investigative reporting website to try to do what I can to help correct the situation. But we haven't heard these things for a lot of reasons. We haven't heard them because they've been covered up. Because there is heavy pressure not to talk about these things. When you basically wander into that terrain, you talk at all about anything like the Kennedy assassination, they immediately jump out and they slap labels on you. They call you a conspiracy theorist.
For instance, Vincent Bugliosi wrote a ridiculously long book where basically he says Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. That was his conclusion of this, you know, 1,000-page plus book that he says is the definitive record. So,
well, it's not. I've talked to Vincent. I like Vincent and I respect Vincent. But as I told him in a lengthy phone conversation not long ago, I ran some of the revelations in my book by him, and he was just stopped silent. And he told me that he did not know any of these things.
Wow.
And as I pointed out to him, the problem with his book is he's a prosecutor. He is not an investigator. He's not a detective.
Mm-hmm.
He was working off of materials that were prepared, released, and coordinated by people in the government. And I think as you read through these chapters of Family of Secrets, you can see that there are serious problems in this country in terms of major internal investigations of almost everything, and that there's heavy pressure to conform, panic the populace, to encourage a sense that everything in this country is just fine, is
right.
Essentially right on track, and so that's the way those investigations go. And all he was doing was he was working with what they had come up with.
I gotcha. Okay, so now let's. Sorry to interrupt, but I had to ask the question. Let's move
that's
on to
question.
To Watergate. So what were Bush wasn't even in the public view back the Watergate time. So what was the involvement there?
Well, as I said earlier, I was trying to figure out, since George W. Bush clearly never would have been president if another person with his name, George Bush the Elder, had not been president first, I wanted to know a little bit more about how the father became president. Now, just because he was an oil man, just because he had some connections and his father was a senator, was not enough to get him to the presidency. Basically, there's only one reason that he was able to become president of the United States, and that is that Richard M. Nixon favored him. And he appointed him to a whole bunch of high-profile positions in rapid succession and took a man who virtually nobody had heard of and made him into a household word. And so I, again, just asked a question, and I said, gee, I wonder why Richard Nixon did all these things for H.W. Bush, or Poppy, which is his nickname. I refer to him that way mostly in the book. Why did he favor Poppy Bush? Well, as I checked back with some of the lesser-known Nixon tapes, Nixon talks a little bit about him, but mostly he does it in Kissinger disparages Poppy Bush when Nixon says maybe we can give him a certain position, and Nixon says, gee, you're right. He's, you know, they basically agree that he's a lightweight. So it wasn't for qualifications. What I discovered in my research was, again, another shocker, and that was that there was a secret relationship between Richard Nixon and the Bush family, and this predated not only Nixon's presidency, but even his first run for the presidency and his senatorship. Basically, all the way back in the 1940s, when Richard Nixon himself was a nobody, Prescott Bush, the grandfather of W, or the father of Poppy, was an investment banker who was deeply concerned about a member of the House of Representatives by the name of Jerry Voorhees. Jerry Voorhees represented an area in Southern California that included Whittier, Nixon's hometown, and Jerry Voorhees was a leading figure on Capitol Hill in this period that was a decade or so after the Great Depression, calling for better and stricter regulation of Wall Street, of banking practices, and of financial instruments. I'm sure a topic that may resonate with some people.
Would have been nice if that had happened, yes.
Well, yes, wouldn't it have been?
Yes.
Well, anyway, they didn't want that to happen. And Jerry Voorhees was chairing all these hearings, and he was investigating not just them, but also the insurance industry and everything. I mean, he was just really a kind of a latter-day Henry Waxman, I guess you'd say. And they just wanted him out. And so, as I document in Family of Secrets, Prescott Bush was actually in Whittier at the time that Nixon was selected, and they were rooting around for a candidate. Moreover, Prescott was actually buying a company right there, a defense contractor, as part of their stable of companies. And so Nixon, of course, would not have gotten his start in politics without this. He basically owed the Bush family's entire life. This was a secret he wanted nobody to know. And as I say, nobody did know it up until now. It's not in any books. But basically, he owed them a favor. And so whenever Prescott Bush would say, "Give my son a job," he would either do it or sort of pretend to do it. 1968, when Poppy Bush was merely a freshman member of the House of Representatives, it was a major campaign to convince Nixon to make him his vice president, which would have been quite a staggering rise. And Nixon didn't do it, but he did put him on his list of final candidates. And then they were upset with him. And then when Nixon became president, he suggested that Bush run for the U.S. Senate from Texas. Bush lost. As a consolation prize, Nixon sent him to be the ambassador to the United Nations. This is a man who had no background in foreign policy, knew nothing about the United Nations, as he admitted to his friends, and yet he put him in there at a very sensitive moment in American foreign relations. And then, 1973, at the height of Watergate, when Nixon was really pretty panicked and he was firing a lot of people around him, he takes Poppy Bush and he elevates him to being the chairman of the Republican Party. And so we see Poppy Bush actually in the catbird seat at a key position right when all the Watergate stuff is really going wrong for Nixon. And so I just was fascinated by that, Nicole, and I went to all the books about Watergate and the books about Nixon and the books about Bush, and I said, now I will read about what he did as chairman of the RNC, and there was nothing. And I just was staggered by that. And again, I said, how could that be? And so basically, I began trying to figure out what he was doing. I knew that in all probability, he had been working with the Central Intelligence Agency in a very secret capacity for years, that he had some sort of awareness of some operation related to the Kennedy assassination. And so, of course, with the fact that Nixon went down there, I wanted to know what his role was, particularly since his family had had something of a falling out with Nixon once Nixon became president. And wasn't doing what they wanted. And what I discovered was that Richard Nixon, far from my understanding of him as a kind of a tyrant and the sort of bad guy here, was a much more complicated figure. He was taking on a lot of these interests. He didn't trust them. You'll see in Family of Secrets how he didn't trust the oil industry. He was trying to resist them. He didn't trust the sugar growers. And he and Kissinger had these back-channel negotiations where they wanted their legacy to be ending the Vietnam War and ending the Cold War. And this did not sit well with the same generals, the same military-industrial complex that were extremely upset with John F. Kennedy for essentially starting to do the same things in his final year in office.
Wow. Okay. So there's a lot going on there. We are speaking with Russ Baker. The book is Family of Secrets. So George Bush was or George H.W. Bush, Poppy Bush, was involved with the Nixon administration during the times of Watergate, but was he directly involved in the actual break-in or the cover-up?
That's a very, very complicated story, and I don't claim to understand all of it. The way I have written Family of Secrets is I lay out just tons and tons of facts, and I back them up with footnotes, and I invite readers to read this very carefully. Some people have told me they've actually read the book a couple of times to really kind of come to terms with all the material and to try to figure out if it's possible that all of these facts mean nothing, that they could all be coincidence. One thing is very, very clear. I discovered that the Watergate burglary itself, it's almost impossible that it was not deliberately botched. Some of your listeners may know that the man who put the tape on the doors was himself a former high-ranking CIA officer. He put the tape on the doors horizontally over the lock, which was not necessary for a couple of reasons. And what happened was, of course, that guaranteed that the security guard would find the tape and would discover and report an intrusion. There's a lot more there, but all these people all tie back to the CIA, as does Bush, and they all tie back to each other. We then discover very interesting issues about the people who are seen as sort of the almost the kind of heroes in retrospect of Watergate, a lot of whom have some interesting connections to Mr. Bush, and these include John Dean, Bob Woodward of the Washington Post, Alexander Butterfield, the White House official who discovered the tapes. All of these people end up having intelligence connections. And there's a very interesting question that I've never seen asked before that I do ask in Family Secrets, and that is, who are these people, and how did they end up getting their jobs? I try to do that in all my research. How did somebody get there? John Dean, we know, took Richard Nixon down, he and Bob Woodward. But how did John Dean end up in the White House, and who was John Dean? How did Bob Woodward end up at the Washington Post, and who was he? And we don't have the time here, I think, to go into too much detail on it, but there are fascinating backstories and interconnections, interwoven webs, if you will, between all these people and Mr. Bush that I think suggest some sort of a concerted and extremely sophisticated operation, basically to harm Richard Nixon, to wound him, and eventually to remove him from office. Even the prosecutors, Mr. Jaworski, turns out to have had CIA connections, and he's from Texas, turns out to have been a very close friend, again, of Mr. Bush. So there appears to be a small fraternity there of people, all with intelligence connections, all tied in with these special interests that always seem to have a lot of influence in shaping our country's history, all of whom, the evidence shows, were deeply unhappy with Richard Nixon.
Okay. All right. Let's move to more recent history. Russ Baker, author of Family of Secrets. You had mentioned earlier that, contrary to what we were led to believe, George W. Bush and his father had a good relationship. I always thought that Jeb, the other brother, and I'm here in Florida, our former governor, was the chosen son. He was the one that Poppy Bush wanted to see ascend to the presidency at least first.
You know something? One of the things that I learned in the course of interviewing so many people was that the Bushes are masters of propaganda, and we are the victims. These things that we all take for granted, where do they come from? Well, they basically come from them. And their own friends won't say anything, and I've tried. They will not say a word without it being approved and scripted by the family. And so every story that is out there has been carefully considered and approved. They literally have sort of talking points. And I'm not saying that the father may not to some extent have felt that Jeb was better presidential material, that he was a harder worker and all those kind of things. But there was a definite benefit to putting that story out, because you have to remember that H.W. or Poppy Bush had one term as president, and then he was defeated by Bill Clinton. He just wasn't that popular. And he was a suspect in much of the southern part of this country. They always considered him to be a carpetbagger, really a New Englander and a blue blood and a guy who drank cocktails, not beer, and so on. And so as I point out in the second half of Family of Secrets, it's mostly about the rise of George W. He was very carefully constructed to have a whole different kind of an image. The cowboy boots, the tobacco chewing, the association with the baseball team, all of these things were calculated to move him away from his father, to make him to be seen as his own man. But when you actually study the campaign contributions, huge, huge amounts of money from the identical interests, the identical families, backed father and son.
Okay, interesting. Now, about W, everything we've heard about him, it tells us that he was a major screw-up. He had mediocre grades in school, only got into, Yale because of he was a legacy. He was a party boy. He did a lot of drugs and he drank, was an alcoholic. And then there's the question about his, getting out of the military and his service in the Texas National Guard.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, of all those things, the only thing that I think really turns out to be significant is his failure with the Texas National Guard. I really kind of got onto all of this reporting back in 2004 when I began looking at his military service record, primarily because that was such a big issue at the time. And of course, you'll recall the contretemps with John Kerry over his military record, the Swiftboat veterans, and then of course the way that the whole story of the National Guard blew up in the faces of the media, in particular CBS
and News, Dan Rather, right
in the fall. Right. Well, by the way, Dan Rather is one of the people who's endorsed my book Family of Secrets, along with Gore Vidal, Roger Morris, and some other people. It's out in hardback now, but the paperback will be out in November with recommendations from those folks.
Oh, good.
In any case. One of the things that I discovered was that the big secret that George W. Bush had, and there was really one major one, and that was the Guard service record. And it wasn't just that he hadn't finished up his service, which, of course, would have been a major problem for them because the whole family supported the Vietnam War. He not only avoided Vietnam service, but then he skipped out on 2 years of safe domestic service. But the story of the cover-up, you see, his father, again, is never mentioned, but the information that I put forward in Family Secrets indicates the likelihood that the father was involved in creating this cover-up, and what we ended up seeing was records that may well have been doctored to try to justify his honorary discharge. Now, if the father was involved, that puts the father, who at the time was the chairman of the Republican Party, involved in some pretty shady doings. It also shows the incredible pull that this family had. It's not very easy to do that, and so this goes back into this whole kind of story of the CIA being out of control. If the father, in fact, was deeply involved at high levels with the agency back then, so the whole story of the National Guard, I devote about three chapters in Family of Secrets to that. I believe I established for the first time ever conclusively that he definitely did not finish his service. I established the reason he appears not to have finished it. I interviewed people who were knew the family at the time and knew why he left Houston and went to Alabama purportedly for a good job opportunity and why that was not the real story. All of that's in the book.
All right, but what was the real story? Why did he go?
Well, the evidence is that he had some sort of problems that prevented him from continuing to fly his plane. Now, whether that was the implication was it was some sort of either substance abuse, whether it was drinking or it was drugs, or it was some sort of other defect that he had. He may have simply become afraid of flying. But whatever it was, this was a stain on a family full of military heroes, the father, the grandfather, and so forth. And of course, their voting base is heavily veterans and people who are favorable to the military. And so they simply found this was just unsupportable. That the eldest son of Poppy, who was on his way to the top, could have just skipped out on 2 years of service. I mean, you go to jail for that if you're caught. And so this was a huge problem they had. And what I show in Family of Secrets is that there's basically been a 30-year cover-up of this to the present day. It came to its to its apex in 2004. They were panicked about John Kerry because he was the exact opposite. He actually had served. He had served in a very, very dangerous place. And so all these things, the Swift Boat veterans, and then finally these documents that mysteriously came to CBS that end up damaging them, all of these have the earmarks of being essentially a covert operation.
Wow. Wow. Family Secrets is the name of the book. We're speaking with Russ Baker, who is the author. How long did it take you to write this?
I've been working on the research for about 5 years.
Wow. Okay. In the couple minutes we have left, what's one more like mind-blowing thing you can tell us that we didn't know before?
Okay, well, clearly both the 2004 and 2000 elections were extremely close. Whoever actually won is subject to debate, but Bush would have actually lost badly, would have been lopsided if he did not have the evangelical Christians voting almost in lockstep for him. And the reason they voted for him was largely, not exclusively, but largely because he was a self-professed born-again Christian. As I reveal in a later chapter of Family of Secrets, that whole story may well have been concocted again to manipulate the press and the public. And I interview at length the man who was advising and writing memos to the Bush family prior to the year in which W purportedly became born again, telling them that they must embrace this block and they must do something to communicate to them that they themselves share their beliefs.
Wow. So you're saying that might all be a ruse?
That's right.
How interesting. Even to the point of him saying that when he decided to invade Iraq, and there was a question where he was asked if he consulted with his father, and he said, no, I consult with the other father.
Nicole, I think all of those things are carefully scripted, and they're all targeted. That was simply to keep the base on board, and that's exactly what it did.
Wow. Okay, and I'm sure there are a lot more of those types of revelations in the book, Family of Secrets. It is out in hardcover. You said, Russ Baker, it'll be out in paperback in November. And
right, I wouldn't wait for the paperback, though. The hardcover is not much more expensive, and there's a lot of reading to be done in there. It's worth the extra effort, I think.
Okay, and I'll have a link to the page, familyofsecrets.com, from my blog at radioornot.com. Excuse me, at radioornot.com and the Nicole Sandler Show page at airamerica.com. Quickly, you have another website. Why, what, where? Tell us what this is.
It's called Who What Why.
Whowhatwhy.com. Whowhatwhy.com. And what is that about?
It's a new a nonprofit investigative reporting site. We are looking to the public if they are interested in these kinds of revelations to come out, if they want to see this sort of work being done, not just in book form, but on a kind of a regular basis about what's happening right now in Washington. If they care about that, we hope they will support us, go to the site, click on donate, and become supporters. We welcome ideas, and we're hoping to staff up with a team of some of the best-trained investigative reporters in America.
Oh, terrific, and I clicked on the link. And the top story there right now from today that you posted, the importance of whistleblowers, and it talks about Wendell Potter, who is the former chief communications officer, the spokesman, the chief apologist for Cigna and the insurance industry. I had him on the show last night, so you're in good company.
Yeah, he's an interesting figure.
He's
and, of
wonderful.
Course, what he's doing is so important.
So important, and as is this. So, Russ Baker, thank you so much for joining us tonight on Air America. And, again, I have links to all your pages from my blog at radioornot.com and the Nicole Sandler Show page at airamerica.com. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you very much.